Maybe someday you'll run across a person that no matter what you say to them, they'll disagree and say, I don't believe it. If you said I was born in Houston and you really were, they'd say, I don't believe it. I see some people like that. I find myself saying I don't believe it more probably in the church than I do anywhere else. By in the church, I mean if I'm listening in the radio, on the radio, not in the radio, on the radio or watching television and a recent program is on, I'm just sitting there waiting for something I can say, I don't do that. I don't believe that. You know? And I don't know about you, but maybe when people come to church, especially if it's a visitor or a stranger, and they say, if you say something, I don't believe it. I don't believe it. We do have a real problem in the church, though, with this matter of believing what ought to be believed. And I want to deal this morning with one of the most important things that we need to believe, and I find most of us aren't convinced yet it's true. I don't know what else can be said or what else God can do to convince us that what is going to be said is true and what's already been done. But I tell you, my hair is, I don't know if it's blonde or not, yesterday. And you kept saying, I don't agree. I don't know what else I can do to prove to you or convince you that my hair is the color you see it to be. And I can say, I'm not a redhead because I don't believe that. Now, we're dealing with object lessons from the scripture. And each week, I'm just picking up one scattered throughout the Bible and preaching on it. I enjoy doing this. Never know where I'll find another object. Now, the object this morning is one that I'm not real familiar with. It is one familiar to a lot of hunters. It's found in the book of Psalms and the 91st chapter, verses 2 through 3. You got me a new Bible the other day, and I'll tell you, I can't find anything in it. The pages all stick together, you know, and now y'all beat me to my chest. Psalms 91, 2, and the first part of verse 3. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I will trust. Surely He shall deliver me from the snare of the fowl. I want to talk today about a snare. Now, a snare is a trap. As a boy, I never went out and set traps for birds or animals or anything else. I've seen this done on picture shows, but I never did this. But I want to talk this morning about snares as they're mentioned in the Bible. I do know this, that I normally associate nothing good for the thing or the person who is caught in a snare. If a man sets a bear trap and he steps in his own bear trap, there's nothing good about that. And if the bear gets caught in the trap, it's nothing good for the bear to get caught. So what I'm saying is, when you think of a trap, you don't think of anything good if you're the one getting caught in the trap. So a trap is something that you and I avoid as much as we can. Maybe better for you to think of, well, I avoid those speed traps. That's a trap. I avoid them too. Or you avoid the fine print contract trap. You really got to read those contracts, because there's traps in there. And through those traps, they don't pay you what they said they would if you thought they would. Then there's what I call a painter's trap. Have you ever started painting a room and backed yourself into the corner? That's a painter's trap. Then you have to walk through the paint to get out. Well, I wouldn't ever do that, but that's a trap. A trap is never anything pleasant to the person who is in trap. Now, I want to talk about another kind of snare today than those that I've already mentioned. Proverbs 22:5. Begin with, I want to ask you, believe it. Do you believe it? Are you convinced yet that what I'm about to read is the truth? If you have your rare thing of God, if you're really convinced, all
22:5. Thorns and snares are in the way, or in the trap of, it says here, the foe. But that is the disobedient, the sinners, the wicked. Thorns and snares are in the way of the sinner. But he that keeps his soul from the trap, see, he that keeps his soul shall stay away from the trap. He that treasures his soul shall stay clear of trap. Now, I'm just sort of paraphrasing the verse. The man who walks into sin is in a sin trap, and the man that doesn't want to get his soul involved in sin, well, he stays away from the sin trap. You be that smart? Is that a good thing to do? You say, I believe it, I don't believe it. Do you really believe there is a trap for the sinner? Now again, there's nothing pleasant when you get caught in a trap. Proverbs 29:6. If sinners really believe what we're saying here, then why is sin so popular? If you don't want to get yourself caught in a trap, how come so many people in the trap? It doesn't make a lot. Either we don't believe what the Lord says, and I think that's the point, we don't believe it. Now, 29:6. In the transgression of an evil man, there is a snare. You believe that? I'm going to paraphrase this now. But the man who stays clear of the trap, a righteous man, he has reason to sing and rejoice. You believe that? You believe that? Can you hear me, mate? Amen. Who has the most to sing about this morning? Who has the most cause this morning to sing about their life? This is a much debated topic, a much debated question. Who's better off, the sinner or the sin? I think you're going to have to answer that question. Who's better off? The other day I was watching a show, a religious program, and the minister was making the comment to another person. He said, if there was no hell, then I'd live it up. And I thought to myself, well, there's something wrong with that person. I said, I don't agree with that. I don't believe it. You know what he was saying? Not what the Bible says. Let me put this way to you. Even if God didn't offer you salvation, and even if there was no prospect at all of your ever going to heaven, would it be worth it to you to avoid the sin trap? That's a good question. Would it be worth it to take God's advice as to what is wrong and what is right? Would it be worth the trouble? Now that man was saying, well, if there was no hell, I'd live it up. In other words, he was saying the way of God is not as good as the way of the devil, and the only thing that keeps me on the way of the Lord is that I'll go to hell if I don't. I disagree with that. That's not Bible teaching. Not at all. We sing a song sometimes, I don't think we do, but I've heard it. No, it's not an easy road. Implying that as Christians, we have hardship into which God leads us. Well, let me ask you another question. Do you think that living in sin is a picnic? What is our viewpoint of those living outside the Lord? Everything's great going their way? That's not true. That's not true. We sometimes get the idea of it. I think that's the last fair to hell. I don't think the sinner has it better off than we do. I really don't. That's what I don't believe. But don't believe it. See, God hasn't convinced us yet that His way is the better way. And until we are convinced of that, we're going to chase after those traps. Jump inside and say, shut the door on me. And I think that's a lot of times is what we do. Now, there are crosses to bear, and Jesus tells us that. There are crosses to bear as we travel along with the Lord on the Lord's way. I don't deny that. But I say this, there are no snares placed there by the Lord, you know. I can tell you that. To wreck you and to destroy you and to ruin you, there's nothing like that there. Remember what Jesus said about this matter? Look at Matthew 11:30. He says, my yoke is easy. I'm going to paraphrase this for you. My yoke is a little bit easier. All right? And my burden is a little bit lighter. I'm just sort of changing that up a little bit for you. Do you believe the yoke of Christ is a little bit easier and a little bit lighter than the yoke of sin? You all don't agree with that. All right? No, what am I going to do to convince you? I can't. I'm telling you something that all of us need to learn and become convinced about, that as Jesus says here, his yoke has some problems with it. It'll rub you raw sometimes around the neck, most yokes do. But his yoke is a lot better than the one that sin will saddle you with. It'll do more than rub your neck sore. That's what he's saying. And he said, my burden, you're going to have some burdens walking with me. I'm not going to say you won't, but he said, my burdens will be lighter for you to bear than the burdens that sin place on you. Do you believe that? That's what he said. And so the Bible says, a person who departs from the snare is smart. He's wise. And the person who deliberately sticks his hand in the trap is a fool. Because the whole intent of a trap, it's to catch you and hurt you. That's the whole intent. I don't think most hunters trap quail to make pets out of them. They trap them to eat them, to pluck them. Now, if you were a quail, you'd be stupid to go into a trap if another quail said, hey, quail friend, that's a trap. And you go in there, the door's going to spring shut, and the man who owns the trap is going to eat you alive. As he took it. Now, if that quail, oh, I don't believe that, and goes on in there, and one of the quail says, well, I'm not going in there, I believe it. And the door slams shut, who is the wise quail and who's the fool quail? Now, we got a lot of Christians today, you see. The Lord's saying, now there's the trap, fella. And the door's going to spring shut, and you're going to get your feathers plucked. And you may even get eaten up and destroyed and end up dying. And if we say, well, I don't agree with that, what's the Lord going to do? What can he do? He just lets you go right into the trap and the door springs up. Now, if we believed him, we wouldn't go near the trap. We'd avoid it like we would the plague. And yet, somehow, we don't do that. Satan dangles a little bit of temptation, a little bit of sin, and we just can't wait to get our teeth into it. And the Lord says, hey, that's a heavy burden. That's trouble. You asked me for double trouble. And why don't we believe it? I have enough, and I think you do too, of normal problems every day without adding to them anymore. And when you decide that sin is not so bad, you're going to add to your trouble. And you don't need to do that. You got more than you can handle right now. And so somehow we're going to have to keep reminding ourselves or somehow correct our understanding of the nature of sin. It'll offer you a thrill a minute, but it's going to come to a point that's going to give you a headache by the hour. You watch it. Never fail. Never fail. You are not trapped by sin for your benefit. You never are. Never are. Look at Proverbs 13:15. Now, a good understanding of what? A good understanding of sin. What is right? What is wrong? A good understanding brings us favor. I like that word, favor. Do me a favor. And God said, all right, I'm going to do you a favor. I'm going to give you some understanding that will help you stay out of the trap. I'm going to do you a favor. I could let you learn on your own. I could let you go out there and stick your hand in every trap and let it spring shut on you, and I could let you get hurt. I can let you learn the hard way. I can let you learn by experience. I'm thankful for the parent that tries to spare his children all kind of harm and affliction and even death. That's the faith. Kid, don't stick your hand in the fire. I'm doing you a favor, and I'll tell you that. He said, I don't believe you. But he's doing the child a favor. You have to agree with that. And so,
in giving us commandments and laws, God said, I'm doing you a favor. I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you be happier, freer of problems than you normally would be. I'm going to help you. Because I love you. I care about you. I'm going to give you some wise counsel and good advice. Sometimes we react about like children do. I don't want to hear it. You know, and Lord said, all right, but I did you a favor. I told you what was best because I cared about you. And you don't believe me, I can't help it, but I've done that for you. And law was given by God not to make our life miserable and not to restrict us and confine us. We can't do anything. We have the idea, well, Christians can't have any fun. If the Lord says a thing is not fun, brother, there's a reason for it. You see? There's a reason for it. And He has done us a favor in giving us the commandments. And we ought to be more interested in learning what they are. Now, good understanding gives you good favor, brings favor to you. Now, notice this. But, do you believe it? The way of the transgressor is hard. Hard what? It's hard on him. It's hard on his body. It's hard on his nerves. It's hard. Now, you say, I don't agree with that. I can't help that. I'm telling you what the Bible says. Yeah. Now, if you're willing to accept the viewpoint of this verse, then the tracks of sin lose their appeal. And they have an appeal for the moment, not for the hour. For the hour of reckoning will always come. And while sin looks good, it's always sugar-coated. What always looks like it'd be safe, what always seems to offer some kind of pleasure, it never promises you safety. There's no safety in a trap. You are caught by the enemy. That you are safe as long as you stay outside the trap of the enemy. Huh? As long as the quail stays outside the trap of the hunter, he's safe. But once he gets in the trap, the hunter says, oh, I promise you, isn't that pretty little quail feed? Isn't that pretty? And just think of the ease. You don't have to go around looking for all that food, rooting, picking in the old ground, getting your bill all full of dirt and dust. Look, it's all laid out for the table. Isn't that wonderful? And you just go in there by yourself, have it all to yourself. Why don't you share it with anybody? And the quail, ooh. Yeah, that would be great. But once the door is shut, you just walk and got to tell the little quail, there's no safety promised you in the cave. So go ahead and eat. Enjoy yourself while I get the pop goose. You can enjoy yourself for a while. I'll be back to pluck you and devour you. I'll be back. Enjoy yourself while you can. There's no safety, brethren, in the trap. No safety. There's always two things that I think we need to understand about the bait that's placed in a trap. Better illustrated by, I guess, a fisherman. He baits his trap, or he baits his line. What's the bait for? First of all, it's to trap the sinner. It's to attract the fish. It's made attractive. Huh? Sin's always made attractive. It's the happy hour. Isn't that attractive? They don't show you after the happy hour is over what happened. They wreck them up off the highway. They're sitting in some divorce court. Alright? The second thing, it's designed to hide the hook. That's what the bait's for. To attract the fish and hide the hook. Sin does the same thing. It baits. And it says, well now, that looks good. That looks appealing. That looks attractive. Let me tell you, folks, the bait in the trap always hides the hook. And the hook is always in the trap. It would be dumb to bait a hook, bait a trap, mean bait a line and put no hook on it. That would be real dumb. You know, what's the point? It'd be dumb to build a trap and put no top on it. There's a hook in the trap. And the joy of the moment, the Bible says, will become the horror of the future. It'll always work it. You believe that? Do you believe that? The goal of a trap is never to make you happy. It's to take away your freedom. That's what I remember. And in the end, it's to make you wretched. If we only become convinced of this, we wouldn't be nearly as tempted as we are by sin, as it dangles before us. If we could just say, no, thank you. I don't even know if we ought to say thank you. Just no. Because I know that's the trap. And if I say yes, my pleasures will not be worth my torment. And I know that's going to happen. So the door will spring shut and I'm going to be caught. And something's going to happen to me as a result of my pleasure in sin. And I don't want to experience what that thing is. So I just pass it up, thank you. We all sing a song, yield not to temptation. Why not yield to temptation? Simply put, sin is bad for you. Sin will be bad to you. That's simple. Father, we're thankful this morning for the clear word of warning, for the advice, for the favor, for the law, the concern, the attention that you desire to give everybody, especially your children. And Father, help us this morning somehow to become finally convinced that what you're telling us is the truth, and that you've given to us already instructions and wisdom on what's right and what's wrong and what's good and what's bad, where to walk and where not to walk. Father, may we, by faith, as we believe in you, just accept what you say and it's true. Not argue with you, not disagree with you. May we just simply accept it as being your word, and you can't lie. May we never think that you give us the worst advice and that sin can give us better advice. We pray these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.